We're going to continue in the Courageous series that Jeff has been teaching. When he got back from his sabbatical and he started teaching on courageous and resilience, that first Sunday he was up here, there was something changed. Yeah, he was gone for 5 or 6 weeks. He got filled up. It was amazing. But there was some enthusiasm in his teaching. I felt that there was a difference in the way that he taught, in the way that he spoke. I mean, it was fun to watch him. And I don't think he did anything different. He was excited for what the Lord is doing, especially for us here at Evangel. And I've spoken to a lot of people. We were having some meetings as well. And I'm not the only one that feels there's an excitement. Somehow this Courage and Resilience series woke something up, or at least moved us forward into figuring out what's going on. The next series he's going to do is really dovetailing right along with this. Wednesday nights in our class with Sean Boltz, we talk a lot about courage and boldness. So it fit right into what we're doing on Wednesday nights. By the way, it's at 6:30 to 8. You can come. You don't need a book. We watch a video. It's really fun. We're really having a great, great time. But some of his teachings really spurred questions as well, because there's some different thoughts in there, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But it's fun for me to actually dig a little deeper, because it forces me to dig a little deeper. And then text them and say, what in the heck did you mean by this? I don't get it. And that's okay to do. I mean, I think we're even supposed to do that, instead of sitting here just watching him and soaking everything in and then not ask the questions. We do have a couple more weeks to go, and so it's real cool. But I wanted to really start looking at a couple things of what we were doing. Today is basically joining Jesus in his mission of redemption, which I thought was really interesting, of how that was going to work. But I had to look up courage. I had to remind myself of what the definition was, not just listen to the song being courageous. And so I thought, well, that's a great place for me to start. So the definition in courage, of courage, there it is. We're gonna start, there's a couple of them, actually four of them. The ability to do something that you know is difficult. A dangerous mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. That's out of the Webster's. And really what I kind of got out of that is, I mean, it's doing it yourself. I mean, to do something that you know is difficult. And I think a lot of us have been there. Is, gosh, I got to do this. I know it's going to be hard, which it probably will be hard. The next one. Whoops. Oh, well, we'll go there. Courage, also called bravery or valor, is the choice and willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, and intimidation. Physical courage is courage in the face of physical pain, hardship, death, or threat of death. While moral courage is the ability to act rightly in the face of popular opposition, shame, scandal, discouragement, or personal loss. I highlighted that because we're seeing that, the highlights, in over the last two stinking years of this election, is who's standing up? Who is going to have the courage to, what it says, ability to act rightly in the face of popular opposition. You guys got to get it. As Christians, we're going to be facing a lot of stinking opposition coming the days ahead. And it's going to require that courage. The next one, and that was out of Wikipedia. Courage is the strength or ability, of mind and heart that makes us resist the temptation to stop or retreat in face of opposition, danger, or hardship. Courage is the firmness of spirit and moral backbone that, while appreciating and properly measuring the risks involved, make us press on until success is accomplished. Jeff had this. It's from Rick Joyner's book, and Jeff had this in it as well. And I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed hearing that as well. Biblical courage is the ability to do something brave out of motivation of the heart. However, biblical courage that is good always relies upon the supernatural power of God to strengthen and motivate the believer to be courageous. The supernatural power of God. That just spoke to me. It's like, holy smokes. So since I'm going on, it's like the supernatural power of God. We have that supernatural power of God. The Holy Spirit is living within us. So we have that. Whenever Jeff spoke on courage, my mind always went to David. Always. I mean, we can go through the Bible. I mean, there's David, there's Philip, there's Noah, there's Moses. We can go all through the Bible, name all these people that we can think of as courageous or have courage. For some reason, I always went to David. Always went to David. We know the story. For some reason, it seems like over the last 6 months, I've heard the story of David and Goliath more times than when I had the prior. And so I was like, why is that? I mean, here's this little boy. That little boy, king comes, you're going to be king. Yay, good. He goes out back out to the field. I mean, it at the time when he was told it, you're going to be king, it's like, it didn't even really affect him. I need to get back out in the field. That's where he met God, is back out in that field. That's where he got trained. That's where the supernatural for David was imparted in him. I mean, he fought lions and bears. Oh, no. He had that. I mean, he had to do that. So when he actually went to the front lines over all this training and everything else, I don't believe he had to sit back, like some of us do, and muster the courage. Because one, he already knew he had God with him. The Word tells us that. He already knew that he could do this because of that supernatural, if you want to call it. Of course, I don't know if they called it that. But it's like, I'll do it. I'll go and try and kill this dude. I mean, they tried putting armor on him. He fell over. It didn't fit. But he went and just did it. He had the confidence and boldness and courage to just go and do it. Because I think of that particular biblical definition. He had the confidence and the supernatural in him. We have the same thing. So I went back on some of Jeff's teachings. I just want to recap on that as we move forward. The intro was basically for a time as this. Jeff really feels that this was a word for evangel. He used the words creative minority, which is interesting. Of people who choose neither to get away or give in. These are Christ followers who hold true to their beliefs while blessing their surroundings around them. The other one is the gift coming to evangel. I thought that was really interesting. God is going to equip us to do things we have previously considered out of the question. And some of you have already experienced that over the last 5-6 months or weeks. That's really cool. Now, too risky or even impossible. We are about to be given the grace, wisdom, and faith to begin to pursue the impossible dreams and promises like never before. That's a good word. It's a really good word. And for some of us to do that, you're gonna have to muster up the courage. The next one was Longview. Remember, he had to do two parts because the Lord gave him a video for Asher Intrader. So we watched that. That was really good. And so he had to, there was a couple things that he did come in up against, which was foresight, insight, and oversight. Foresight is looking at life through a telescope. Insight is viewing life through a microscope. And then oversight puts life into the whole big context. I thought that was good. And he used some verses out of Chronicles. Then on the next week, he did part two. You guys notice Jeff sometimes has a lot of notes and he has to extend out. It's kind of fun to watch him go through that. But part two, the long view. Longview does not have me at its center, but we. The Longview always includes others. Longview finds its power in God's promises and character. not in man's ability. The long view is intentionally and necessarily multi-generational. He said, think Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God always directs his people to think generational. Again, it's just amazing if we look at this and where courage kind of rolls its way through. Creating a context for courageous living. I think this had more questions than Jeff thought it would. There were some good things. It's our relational values. And he went through our relational values as a church, as a body of evangel. I'm not going to go through them. I mean, you can always go online. All these notes, everything, his teachings are on there. But it had some interesting context on that. The life we were created for. This is another one. I talked about our destiny in God. What is our destiny in God? Entering into our destiny. He is our destiny. Let me make sure there's no other notes on that. No. Then he talked the priority of place. And I had to really grab hold of that. When he was talking place, he was actually talking a physical place, not a spiritual place or a place in my mind. The place, Eden, that was a place. Adam was exiled from a place. I mean, it just went on and on about it is a place. It isn't a thought in your mind. Last week was really good. Scott and Christina got up here. It was awesome. It was fun. Talking about revival. Revival looks like a healthy family. We've heard this a couple times of what it looks like. Jeff actually had a teaching or heard a teaching that talked like that. Revival looks like a healthy family. Are we a healthy family? You know? And so there's always underlying things on that. And so it was pretty amazing on that. And you guys did great. Thank you for sharing. That was fun. I got to take a little thing. I'm glad you're here, Cindy Lou Who. This morning, the Lord gave me two words when I woke up. I think I was halfway asleep. Gave me interruption and intensify, which I thought was interesting. Interruption, I kind of knew what was thought could happen. But intensify, I had a word for you last week, and I didn't give it because, one, I think you weren't in here. So she was in the nursery. So I thought, well, I'll just write it down. But I didn't. I got busy. Didn't write it down. But every time I walk over here, I see this word of intensify over you. So I think I'm supposed to tell you what I heard. We know the Lord wants to intensify his love, wants to intensify his love in you for him. But we're going to be recipients of that. We already know how much you love him, and you know how much he loves you. But you're going to go into a different season, a season that doesn't feel like anything that you've experienced before, but it's all going to be based in love. It's what you say, what you do, your actions are going to be intensified. And it's an intensity that none of us have seen either. So I think that you're going to be a forerunner in whatever this love is, this intensity of love. And it's something I don't think any of us has seen. So be prepared. Thanks for letting me take a little sidetrack. I like it when he does that. It's kind of fun. So today, Jeff said, I want you to, down on the list, was mission. Don't want to go there yet. Mission of joining Jesus in his redemption. And I really had to look at that and think about that. We know he is the Father as well. And so it's like, what is his mission? And how does that fit with courage? I mean, God, to me, is courage. I mean, he doesn't have to muster it up. He doesn't have to, oh, should I do this or should I not do this like I do? Should I, what's the ramifications? Ah, that could be wrong. God doesn't have to do that. He knows. So he knew that when he was going to send Jesus, Jesus was in him, or God was in him. he was God, that the courage was going to be there for him. Similar to David. He knew, he's already imparted with that. He knew it. He is the Father. John 10:30 says, the Father and I are one. It's just that little short verse. The Father and I are one. So it was no difficult thing for Jesus to have that courage. And so I kept thinking, where would courage be? Where would Jesus have that courage? Why did Jesus need the courage? And he knew the end. He knew what he was doing. He was doing the Father's work. He knew what the mission was. And so, he didn't have to muster that up. David had the Father in him, like I said. David had that spiritual connection that he just knew, the confidence to go and do it. We have that same thing. But why do we have to sit around? Why do I have to sit around and muster up the courage? I have the Holy Spirit in me. Well, you have the Holy Spirit in you. So on some subjects, we have to sit around and muster up courage. But on some, we don't, because, I don't know, we've worked and we've walked around it. But we still have to muster up the courage to do some difficult things. The social norm is going to be bad, guys. I mean, it's just, are we going to follow that social norm, or are we going to step up and speak out? It was interesting, two weeks ago? I don't know, when was that? We went to a conference down in Portland, a prayer summit conference. Lou Engle was there. Rick Joyner was there. I don't know, a few others. But it was amazing listening to some of these guys, these generals in the spirit of, especially Lou Engle, speaking up and not against the social norm, speaking life, speaking truth about abortion, not worrying about what's happening. And we could do that as well. We could stand up and talk about abortion. I'm pro-life. I could say that Evangel is a Bible-believing pro-life church. It just is. We have two ladies that work at CPC. That should tell you one thing. They're both elders' wives. That tells us one thing. That's a social norm that we're saying this has to happen, and we need to step up and speak out against it, because the Word speaks against it. So it was fun listening to Lou kind of go over some of this stuff. It's fun. Rick Joyner said some stuff as well about the social norms. And they've probably been doing it so long that it's easy for them. And they don't have to get the courage. They can just go for it. Some of you, I know, don't have to wait for courage. It's already there. It's ingrained in you. It's part of your DNA. You're going to say it whatever you want to say. If it's speaking the truth, there's no problem with that. I learned early on in my life that I hate spiders. Hate them with a passion. I think they're from the devil. I think they're the devil's pets. I just hate them. And a good spider is a dead spider. Just hate spiders. There's some people that say, oh, spiders are God's critters. They are important to the world, to all these other things, but I hate them. And so that's how I'm going to go. So I don't have to muster up courage to kill a spider. Spider comes in, I see it, it's dead. Done. I know some people, when I talk about spiders and they see a spider, they go the other way. They just go. They just don't like spiders. Snakes are the same thing. Snakes I'm a little okay on. But other people, if you see a snake, you're out of there. Gone. And so I don't have to get that courage. Maybe it's because I've been killing spiders since I was a little kid. I'm used to it. I don't know. But I don't have to do that. The other day I was out shopping, went out to Kohl's, and I pulled my truck in, and I was on the phone waiting to get out. Out of my corner of the eye, a spider. Little stream coming. He was inside my truck. Came down. I was looking at the thing as I was talking to a person, and the spider was pure white. Not a spot. I've never seen a pure white spider, ever. The first thing that came to me is the word purity. No. Yeah. It's good. And so I looked at, got off the phone, slowly got out of my truck, went to the other side, opened the door, and there he was. He was still hanging there. Grabbed him by the little web, put him on the floor, and killed him on the ground. I was thinking, there is no way they're going to camouflage their colors in purity, and I'm not going to kill it, because it's still a devil's pet. It's the stinking spiders. If it was a bee and it came in my truck, I'll drive off the side of the road to kill the bee. I don't like bees, but I can't. I just don't like them. But it's because I think, for me, I've been doing it for so long, it's time to kill the spider. And I don't have any qualms about doing it. None. But some of you might. You have to muster up that courage. And that's okay. That's okay. So back to joining. Sorry, that was just kind of a silly little back to joining with Jesus and his mission and how courage relates to him. Matthew 1:20-23. While he was trying to figure out a way, he had a dream. This is Jesus being born. God's angel spoke in a dream. Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saves. Because he will save his people from their sins. There's Jesus' mission. You're going to go on the earth, Jesus, through a miraculous way. Imagine Joseph's courage. It's like, I mean, we could read the whole thing. And he was questioning this stuff. He was questioning because he had never been with Mary. So how could she be pregnant? But he still married her, of course. But there was Jesus' mission. I'm sending you to the earth to redeem. I'm sending you to the earth to save them from their sins. I thought that was pretty good. And I, okay, well, now we know what Jesus' mission is. But how does that still relate to courage? How does it still relate to him and courage? He knew his mission. It was ingrained in him. The Father was in him. So there was no qualms about that. He didn't have to muster anything up. Didn't have to have courage to do what the Father said. He walked in courage. Imagine the times when he had to walk around to the Pharisees. He walked in courage, and he was able to speak to them. He was able to speak truth to them. He was able to not be mean, but he was kind of mean sometimes to him, but he was speaking in truth. He really was. He didn't stand around or wait for the courage because it was there. It was in him, supernaturally, but it was the Father was in him. When he entered the temple, and this was after, you know, before he entered the temple, he was at a wedding, then he was going for the feast, went in, saw what was happening, selling of doves, it wasn't very pretty at all. He made a whip out of rope and goes postal in the temple. I mean, just goes crazy. Didn't have to take any courage to do that because he knew, one, what they were doing was wrong. Socially, back then, it was okay. He's going, this isn't right. So he went berserk. Imagine what his disciples were sitting back thinking. Holy smokes, he's lost it. Even though they've been walking with him for quite some time, they saw something out of that. And that was out of John 2. He walked in courage to do the Father's work. He knew what the Father's work was. So since he is doing the Father's work, walking in courage, how does this fit in with the teaching of what we're doing? Courage community. It's like, really, Lord? I just couldn't still couldn't wrap my thoughts around Jesus and courage. Because he was courage. He was courageous in my mind, in my thoughts. He was also a rabbi. We know that. Rabbis took disciples. We know that. I don't know how many years ago Jeff talked on the rabbis and the disciples and what their jobs were. A rabbi was supposed to have disciples and go along. Jesus was considered a rabbi, so he got his disciples. Well, his disciples weren't the sharpest tool in the sheds. They were good men, but they weren't. The other rabbis didn't want them. But Jesus picked them for some reason. Picked them for some reason. And they followed him. I found a passage that says, Jesus chose his disciples to spend time with them. The disciples saw how he lived, what he did, and what he said. And they learned from him. He was preparing them for the time when he would leave this earth and they would carry on his work. His work. Another one, the second reason Jesus had disciples was because he commanded them to make more disciples. Over the time, Jesus was with his disciples. He led them so they could follow his example. Jesus wanted them to do what he had done for 3 years, teach and lead others and tell them about God. The other disciples, when a rabbi would take a disciple, I mean, they spent time in books and classes, but being taught by the rabbi. In a way, as I was reading some of this and reading through it, it's like, I wonder if those disciples for the other rabbis had a relationship with their rabbi, like the relationship Jesus wanted with his 12. Jesus taught by example. They walked with him. Wherever he went, they went. Look what I'm doing. Look, guys. I mean, we could talk about the disciples. They were kind of a strange little bunch. Seeing what he was doing and some of them not believing, some of them, I always think about going out onto the lake and the storm, and Jesus is there and comes walking across on the water, and out comes, oh crud. Thank you. Peter, come on out. Had to probably take some little bit of courage for Peter to step out and walk to him. And it's like, Peter, if you just kept your eyes on him, you wouldn't have sunk. You wouldn't have started going down. Kept that courage up. You had courage to step out of the boat. I mean, that would have taken a lot of courage. It really would have. Many times in the Word, they say that they still didn't act like Jesus. But they walked with him. They lived with him. They ate with him. But they still were like, sometimes you just want to take them. When Jesus went to the Pharisees, I don't think the disciples really understood a whole lot of that. The Pharisees didn't like Jesus at all. As a matter of fact, they despised him. They tried trapping him wherever they could. And of course, the disciples tried protecting Jesus when they saw that. John 4, we know the story when Jesus gave a Samaritan woman some water and talked to her. That was so weird. We've learned in that day of talking to the Samaritan, giving him water. Jesus just did it. He went and did it. I mean, to me, that probably would have been courageous. Had to drum up the courage to go to the Samaritan woman. You weren't supposed to do that. Jesus did. Why not? Yeah, John 2, we already talked about that. Jesus was destroying the temple. Absolutely, I mean, like I say, he just went on that one. In John 14, it reads, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. at least do that. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have done, I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. They were still probably questioning who is this? And he's talking some weird talk. Even as Jesus was nearing his death, he never stopped teaching them, never stopped showing them of what this was going to be like. He kept going on and on and on. So the mission that I think that Jesus took was really good for those 12, but for us as well, because it set an example. It set an example to them that they can do this. They could do everything that he was doing, everything, because they had that supernatural power in them that was given to them. They saw Jesus doing it. They now know from just this word, I am the Father and the Father is in me. You guys are going to do more than me. So how can they do more than him if they don't have the courage? They had to remember, I think, these disciples had to look back and say, what are they doing? What is he doing? We can do that. There's verses in there we could talk about disciples healing people or not healing people, and they couldn't get the demons out, and Jesus could. We can go on and on and on. But the thing is, they kept their eyes on Jesus and looked at him as that example. We today can do the same thing. It's just, we have that in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. It's our flesh. It's our whatever around us is saying, you're a fool. You think that's real? You think you can do this? These are the words I hear. You really think you can do that, huh, Patrick? You're probably right, I can't. Probably can't. I can kill a spider, but I can't do that. He doesn't want to hear that. He wants us to do more than what he was doing. So what we are actually doing and what they actually did is Jesus said, come with me on my mission. This is the mission. You guys need to enter and come with me and walk with me. Because you're going to see some really cool things, and you're going to have to do some really cool things. And I'm going to ask you to do some things when I'm gone. So when I looked at the mission, the mission is walking with Jesus in what he was doing. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The mission, you can go back to where it was, says the same thing, his redemptive powers. He's saying, I need you guys to continue on my mission. The mission that the Father sent me to do, I need you guys to do this. Disciples, I need you guys to do this. So we as a church, need to somehow figure out, how do we do this? Over the past 5-6 weeks, there's been many of you that have figured that out. That you aren't having to muster up courage like you used to. One of the things that we did on Wednesday night, we took a couple weeks off, I said, find 21 people just to say something to them. You don't have to get this huge word from the Lord with all these Bible scriptures and all this there and a picture and their address, their date, their everything. You don't have to do that. Just 21 random people and say something nice to them. Or say, God loves you. Why not? That's true. And out of everyone had some type of a story that they could do, that they did that. The more we do X, the more we see this, the easier it gets. The more times I kill a spider, the easier it gets. the more times you guys hear a word, write it and speak it out, the easier it gets. If it's spoken in truth, why not? Is there going to be backlash on some stuff if it's spoken in truth? Yeah. Yeah. We've seen that played out in the media. We really have. And do I think that courage is the word that Jeff gave us earlier on, that this is for evangel? Yeah, I do. Because you guys may not think it, but as a leader in this church, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it in your guys' face. I'm seeing it when you guys walk. It's easy to see. My encouragement to you is continue. Continue to walk in that. There's nothing wrong. Are we going to make mistakes? Oh, you betcha. I've made plenty. Jesus doesn't stop loving us. He said, just keep going. That's my encouragement. You guys, just keep on doing it. It gets easier, and it will get harder. I mean, I know some of you businesses and standing up, there's some of you that are praying about becoming city leaders. That wouldn't take courage entering into the political field. I don't know what would. That would be scary. But keep going forward. Keep walking in the courage. Because there's nothing but good that will come out of that. Lord, we thank you for this day. We actually thank you for this week coming up. Lord, that you have your hand on the election of our nation. That even that has been dovetailing with the teachings that we've been hearing. Lord, you love us. You love this nation. Lord, you are in control of this. You got this. You keep telling me I got this. So Lord, I just pray for that. I pray for wisdom. Pray for calm if that's what needs to be enacted. We thank you for being with us. We just pray just a blessing over everyone here in this week, in this coming up week. Be with Jeff and Jody as they enjoy their kids and grandkids. And just give them traveling mercies as well. In your name we pray, amen. Have fun. Remember to vote. Vote, vote, vote.